It's a leprechaun reference.
Two guys that talk.
And we know most people probably don't get it.
Two guys that talk.
We don't care about world news. Celebrity news, we're just talking about music. But these games at school, we're just some regular guys.
Alright, welcome back to another episode of Two Guys That Talk. We have a guest here this week, and we're discussing a movie. If you're reading the title, you might be going, what the fuck movie is this? Because most people maybe have never heard of it, but part of the reason that I wanted to bring you on is because you are the reason that I know this movie. We've got my cousin, a lifelong friend of Alex's, Cole's, on the podcast with us this week. Welcome aboard.
Hello, everybody. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Lovely to be here. Yeah, I don't honestly know where I even saw it first.
I actually remember this. I know why this.
You are the brains.
Nobody saw this in theaters. I'm just looking at I'm looking at the box office here, and nobody saw this. So it was $32 million budget. Worldwide, it grossed $9.9 million.
$32 million? Yeah,
that was to bleach James Franco's teeth.
Yeah, they pocketed the shit out of that.
Goddamn chompers.
Wow, okay. But anyway, it was actually our buddy Colby. That's
what I recall as well.
Who, believe it or not, was going to bring down, because I tried telling Taylor this. Growing up, a lot of times, what we would do is we would sit down with TV trays for lunch and watch a movie. Like, it was a Saturday, whatever, we were out jumping on the trampoline we were 10 when this fucking movie came out.
Yeah.
Playing with wrestlers, whatever we were doing. Well, we would always take a break.
Mildly inappropriate.
We would always take a break while we ate lunch, you know, and your house, I think of two things. I think of the TV trays and I think of Schwan's Man chicken patties.
It was today's Uber Eats. It was the Uber Eats of the past.
We used to eat,
loved them.
We used to eat chicken patties at your house all the fucking time. But I think Colby thought he was bringing down Miss Congeniality.
We just talked about that one the other day. We were talking about back at the campgrounds. We watched that 12 times one day when it rained.
That movie still fucking rips. That movie's
awesome. It was all right, but I'm like, man, we can say this whole damn thing. What are we doing here?
So it was the case for Miss Congeniality. I remember pulling out the VHS tape. That's where at in time. Pulled the fucking VHS tape out, and it says Whatever It Takes. And we're like, the fuck is this? This isn't Miss Congeniality. This is Sandy B.
Straight up.
This is what we fucking signed up for. But we popped it in, and 10-year-old us loved this movie. Because we ended up watching it multiple times.
It became a staple after that, but coming back to it now, there's a little 10-year-old me in there. But,
oh, yeah.
But the 34-year-old's going, this needs help.
The biggest problem with this movie is its dialogue.
Yeah. Mm. Shane West, dog shit.
Shane West, okay.
Guy, no wonder his fucking career didn't take off.
Okay, and also, Shane West is supposed to be the nerd.
I'll believe that over that fucking Fox neighbor of his, this total Bowser, I put in quotation that the movie, like, I mean, granted, the movie does say, like, even his friend says, she's fine. So it acknowledges that this girl's got great gams. She does.
It doesn't put him away.
No, that first,
throughout the entire film.
Sam, very first scene, she sees, like, does she not have to wear a bra? She really didn't have to wear a bra? I'm like, God bless her.
That is, you're talking about
my shitty imagination.
Marla Sokoloff.
Marla
who? what a hitter.
Her name is Marla Sokoloff. Or, I don't know. That's a terrible last name. It sounds like you just choked on your gum.
So she clearly didn't have much of a career after this.
Well, she was in Dude, not a household name.
She was also in, do you remember that movie about the cheerleaders robbing the bank? The fuck was that one called? Sugar and Spice.
Bring It On.
No, I'm pretty sure it was called Sugar and Spice. I think it's called Sugar and Spice.
I think you're no right. Idea.
You're going to have to drag it up, but I'm pretty sure you Bring It On.
It was Bring It On 2. Bring It On Again, whatever that movie was called. Bring It On Her.
Oh, dude, Jesus Christ.
It was a sequel to that piece of shit called. No, actually, Bring It On was awesome.
I typed in Sugar and Spice, and it's right there.
Yeah.
Because what's his ass is in this? James Marsden.
James Marsden's goddamn national treasure.
Another box office breaker there that nobody remembers.
You guys, I've never even heard of that movie. No, I've never even heard of it.
I remember it. I never watched it.
Oh, it's got a girl from American Pie. Can't even name.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
All those.
Starts with an M.
Mina something. Fucking what's her
name? Sokolov and Mina Savari.
Mina Savari, yeah. Yeah, and Marla Smith.
How are you supposed German to say her last name?
I don't know. Couldn't have changed it.
Slavic.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah, I mean, get a stage name. You fucking psycho.
What is that, Slavic?
I know she's listening. She should have a stage name.
So let's just say the rest of the cast, because Aaron Paul, this is his debut movie. And if you would have guessed anybody that would have went on to have a huge career, plays Floyd.
My favorite character in the film is Floyd. He's the only one that held up with me at all.
Even then, like watching it, like back in the day, I was like, there's something with this guy. There's something to this guy.
Yeah.
And yeah, like it's crazy to think then he went on and obviously did Breaking Bad and just had an excellent,
massive career.
That's where that's catching me up now, because I'm like, I don't remember.
By a massive career, we mean he did one of the greatest shows of all time, Breaking Bad.
You've still never seen Breaking Bad.
I've seen the first few seasons. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I
asked Colby about it too. I'm like, when I broke my rib, I'm like, I got nothing. I'm running out of stuff. I thought about it. He goes, I tried to get into it. Couldn't. I'm like,
it's a little slow. Yeah, but
my boss got into that really hard, and we were flying home from a work trip, and he was like, Sean, you're driving home because I want to sit in the passenger seat and watch Breaking Bad. He's like, I'm on the last episode of this season, and he's sitting back there with his headphones on, and all of a sudden he goes, holy shit! And I'm like, what? And he goes, oh, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't understand. You'll watch the show. But
you wouldn't get it.
Yeah, he's like, oh my God, that's a massive cliffhanger. I can't wait to go watch the rest of it. So.
But it's good. What I've seen of it, it's been really good.
Aaron Paul, Shane West, James Franco, Colin Hanks, and Nick Cannon, apparently.
Huh?
Nick Cannon is in this movie. Plays a chess club player.
Sure.
He was a pass-by.
He's credited, though. Like, I didn't notice him at all when I watched this.
I did not either.
Granted, I mean,
I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't notice a single black person in this movie. Now that you mention it.
I don't think there's
a lot of honkies in this movie.
I don't think there is. I don't think there is.
I don't remember a single one.
There is no token black guy in this.
I can give you one. He is not a character because I made a comment of it during the football game.
Oh, the football
game. I'm like, okay, when did we hire the NFL linemen to do this?
Are these guys supposed to be high schoolers?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, so movie came out in 2000.
Yeah, we're old.
Yeah. Mm. Like I said, VHS tapes is where I originally watched this.
All of those VHSs were kept in the mobile traveler, the camping unit. So when it rained, this was the shit you dug into. Yeah. And that was an old mobile home. And I mean, it was with the bed up top of the cab.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a kitchen and one bed. And we all just wedged up there in that sweet 12-inch screen.
Yeah, I remember sitting over there one time and it was raining its ass off. We watched Happy Gilmore. Yeah, it was right above the thing, the mobile unit.
But that's what sold it. That's what kind of got us all there. And now we're putting the pieces together and not figuring out. But
okay, so David Rayner is the director. He also did two episodes of 21 Jump Street and that classic movie, Christmas in Compton.
Yeah.
Sure. Never heard of it, but that was his
Did he do anything else?
I mean, nothing else I noticed.
Shocker.
The writer is Mark Schwann, speaking of the Schwann's man. And he also wrote Coach Carter.
Never saw that either. I know Samuel L. Jackson. I never saw it.
Watch that?
Never seen it.
I figured that'd be... Well,
so, and it, like we've said before, the worst part about this movie, and me, for my opinion, is the dialogue. Because it, plot wise, it's cookie cutter as shit.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you see everything coming from a mile away. What could have saved this was the dialogue. But I wrote down, like, up until he says sorry about your mouth. Like, all of that dialogue is, like, expositional, like...
Yeah, it's awful.
We have to introduce these characters and tell you everything about them while they're just talking. It's like, these two live next door to each other, And they walk out of the house and it's like, hey, Maggie. Hey, Ryan.
I said that I'm like, we had to say hello when we're getting in the same fucking car.
Yeah.
I usually can hold off on that until we get in there.
If you're really friends with somebody, you never say hi. I would never greet you fucking idiots. Yeah, don't you? In the fucking car, you pussy. Like, why are you taking so fucking long?
Well, yeah, because we'd be late if we were riding with you.
Well, and I was still also thinking. Your shirt on. I was also thinking, like, you and I. We got a good friend, Molly. We were never nice to her.
She had giant mitts.
I strictly gave her shit. She says, why are you so mean? And I said, somebody's got to put you in your place. Everybody's too nice to you.
Yeah, everybody's too nice to you.
You're nice to your friends like a couple of fucking pansies?
Bring you down a notch.
Yeah. Or our friend Katie. Like, I remember one time we stayed at their place after drinking for a night, and you and I were sitting on the couch. We were both awake. Watching TV, she comes around the corner from her bedroom. First words out of her mouth, shut up. I know my hair looks crazy. Like, that's how we greet. That's how you greeted your friends. You didn't come out, hi, Maggie.
Yeah.
Hi, Ryan.
I don't know. Maybe it's like a small town thing. Cause like my girlfriend doesn't seem to understand. She's like, why do you like joke around with me so much? I'm like, I don't know. Am I gonna be fucking nice to you? I'm not some cuck. Go make me a sandwich.
I did forget all about the stop motion.
The intro is weird.
See, it reminded me of like an 80s movie.
Well, I was sitting around, I was like, wait a minute. Like, this isn't like a fucking Pretty in Pink 16 Candles, like Ugly Duckling story. The fuck we have this stop motion makeup for?
I don't know.
It's nice to notice you guys. Let's get the fuck moving here.
See, and I remember.
I 15 seconded that shit until I got to where they walked out of the house. I'm like, all right, we're going.
I remember her drawing a mole on. I remember her like penciling him. Maybe I'm confusing it with Bride of Chucky.
That's what I was thinking. You thinking of fucking? You thinking of Tiffany?
Maybe.
Wasn't it just Bride of Chucky? The popular one. Wasn't she doing her makeup and that whole?
Yes, that's
I'm telling you. I fast forwarded through the whole damn thing.
That's the intro.
Well, you didn't miss much.
It started with the music and the shit sliding. And I'm like, I am not.
Do not have time.
I think that's another thing that holds this one back from like for being in the 2000s. Shitty soundtrack. There's no fucking music in this movie that's discernible. There's no Sum 41. There's no Blink 182. Well, no, there's nothing here.
Like you would think with a $34 million budget, they would have been able to get Sum 41 to
yeah,
throw
no
song.
Shit. I mean, they could get those guys.
Play live at prom. I mean, yeah.
I mean, even, what was it? Oh, no, that was not another teen movie that got Good Charlotte for their prom.
Oh,
Your head on my shoulders.
It says heads.
Whatever. Yeah, because it's the disconjoined twins.
Not another teen movie is fucking hilarious.
Yeah. I am the token black guy. We didn't have that in this movie.
That's another
so
one.
Wild.
That's another one along with the original Scary Movie. If you haven't seen it in a long time, I highly recommend a rewatch because they still hold up.
My favorite joke from that movie is from Not Another Teen Movie. Actually, it's been more like six, because the time you're referring to, we were standing in line at that movie theater, I was actually saying hi to the person right behind you. Such a great joke.
It's funny you say that, because that's my next note. Because when they go into the auditorium and he thinks she's talking to him, I wrote, actually, I was saying hey to the person right behind you.
Oh, my God.
This,
so yeah, I commented on the dialogue. This is the reason I said the guy who wrote this horse shit is gonna miss this place. The games, all these women digging me. I'm like, geez. I mean, maybe it's just because I never had these plights as a kid in high school. I was never smashing poon.
That was close to the first note I had. So the movie opens with the awesome stop motion you guys are telling me about. Mm-hmm. I get to when we get to school, Floyd gets dropped off on the garbage truck.
Yeah.
Did his dad not always say, see you, Floyd?
He only says that once. I thought the same thing. I was waiting for him to shout it, but he says it when he drops him off at the party, and that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then my absolute next comment is, all I want to do is beat the piss out of James Franco in every scene he's in. That guy sucks ass. Okay. I know.
He works in this movie as a schmarmy piece of garbage.
Okay, here's where we're going to differ a little bit, because as a kid, Aaron Paul's, you know, he plays the dumbass.
Yeah.
That's the comic relief, right? The only times I laughed in this movie were
some
James
of the shit
Franco.
That Franco says. Yeah,
Franco's fucking
Jane
delivery.
West is so bad in this movie that he makes James Franco look like Marlon Brando.
James Franco, some of his delivery in this movie, there's a couple of lines I wrote down like that literally laughed out loud.
My favorite joke of this movie is something he says. It's when they're on the fucking Ferris wheel. I really like that shirt. It's his fucking shirt. It's so good. Such a great little joke.
Because it's going back and forth between him and her and Ryan.
Yeah.
And it just comes back to him. I like that shirt.
That was like one of my biggest things in this movie. It's like, wait a minute. This fucking guy needs this much help on just to be decent to somebody for a little bit until you get your dick wet and you can move on with your life. Like, is it this hard for you to like pretend to be compassionate in some fashion?
Yeah, he can't figure it out.
Like that was like, okay, like, all right, whatever.
So
who invented the accordion? I want
to
know.
My next note is who the fuck knows how to play the accordion?
Who the fuck looked at their air conditioner, their window air conditioner, was like, I bet that thing fucking rips. What a fucking ridiculous looking instrument.
I'll give them half the credit for dipping in and explaining why.
I was going to say, they do.
It's not that nonchalant bullshit instrument.
Oh, look how quirky this nerd is. Like,
exactly.
No, it's
I mean, they get, which, yeah. Although, did Dad die?
Yeah.
Will they get into that?
They don't say.
They talk pretty nice for a guy that just packed and bailed.
It's about the only thing they don't throw a cue card up at the fucking camera
that's
for.
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? Like, the dad's dead. They play it, like, sort of aloof. But there again, like, they take until quite a ways into the movie before they're like, you know, I remember listening to your dad play that for your mom.
And you used to always say every note was for her.
Yeah. Man, I mean,
like, the girl that played Pat? It's Saturday Night Live. All those notes were for Pat.
Maybe he just left because she's got giant dongs at the house and
yeah. fucking Cosmo, makes hand of the friggin' dick.
Love that line.
That was my next. The scene right off the bat with her being the nurse. It was kind of a stub in to make it.
Yeah,
just one more piece to the puzzle of how this kid's screwed.
Yeah, mom's on stage in her nurse's outfit. Yeah, that's the line I want.
Oh, yeah. There's no way they ever would have let her bring that giant hog on stage.
No.
Uncovers
the blanket.
Yeah.
No, we had to have the fucking side diagram. You know, the one that everybody's seen.
Yeah.
It's the side view. It's the side boob. My next note is the baseball coach.
Yeah. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Because.
All right, Betty Boop.
Yes, dude. When he's like, stand up there, Betty Boop.
Is the worst pitcher from here to hell. That brings the perfect saying to those who can't do teach, and those who can't teach, teach Jim.
Woodman, my ass, you got no lumber.
<It's> Stickless.
Yeah, he throws that ball right over top of his head, and you can barely hear him in the back room. Stand up there, Betty Boop. and I lost it.
I did too. And Shelby's like, what? I'm like, this is one of the guys. There's very few of them in this movie, but that guy, the coach. Yeah.
All those scenes of him pitching still hold up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what a great idea for like just a recurring scene.
Yeah.
You know, with the asshole coach and I
mean, Christ, I don't know how long we've been quoting. Oh, we got someone trying on some pants.
Yeah, we've been saying that
since 2000.
We've been saying that since 2000. There's another quote from this movie we'll get to that I've been saying.
We use as a
and again, never in context, but
I mean, yeah, I've never been puked on at a carnival.
So next is when Floyd takes him into the girls' shower room, which, you know, typical stuff. But
yeah,
school showers are not sexy.
No.
No.
I don't know who thinks they are, but they reek of piss, and they're not clean. And
first off, clearly other bigger schools must have had more rules than we did, because them showers hadn't been used since 74.
No one showered at our school.
No way.
Fuck that.
No one was getting a glimpse of my dick for free. Kidding me? I'm fucking going home.
Or on purpose.
Get that out of here.
The only time I ever saw those showers get used was after football practice.
Oh, yeah, and that's... Guys needed to drink. They weren't going home to do that.
Well, I was
going to
say, and 9 times out of 10, it was like the farm kids. If you lived in town, you went home and showered.
I never went out for football, but I live 2 blocks from the fucking high school.
Because I remember after practice one time, I was one of the last guys up there, and I walked around the corner, and there was a kid in our class. His name was Lee, and he's just suds in his ass cheeks. He's just rounding both cheeks with full
Which
soap.
Fucking Sandler movie was it?
It was when fucking Mr. Deeds.
Would you mind stop soaping your ass?
Sure, if you stop soaping your ass.
Yeah, I round the corner and just see two hands going to town on two round ham hocks, and I'm just
oh
like,
oh my god. Did he sweep the village like Vietnam? It's like,
I fucking hate the locker room. They like, couldn't get out of there fast enough.
You got to get in there.
Sweep.
Yeah, fucking
village.
Just sweep that fucking sweep the village. The carpet bombing. All right.
Fucking bow to Stern. Man.
I will give him credit. I mean, granted, this was PG-13, correct?
Yes.
So
where's our fuck?
Did not
no I don't, know.
Didn't,
no, I don't
get
think
one
they
fuck.
No.
Didn't get a PG-13 fuck. No,
but they and even at that in 2000, this one was kind of odd for not that was, and you've made this comment on here before, boobs.
Oh yeah, no tan, no cans.
At one point, that was the entire point of all these films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
American Pie was what 99.
98, 99, yeah.
So
yeah,
I mean, you were feathering into that raunchy comedy stuff, and this was PG-13, which is half the reason I'm guessing it got swept under. But well, they were as racy as they could get for what they could pull off.
Yeah, it makes you wonder. It makes you wonder if they wrote this as an R-rated script, as like an American Pie thing, and the studio was like, "Nah, let's cut this to be a PG-13.
We'll take our chance. We'll get better results in the theater if we go PG-13."
Boobs would have helped us.
They had one dude at a pop thing of popcorn.
Yeah,
it's 2.5 men filmed in front of a live ostrich. That's a Family Guy joke.
Oh, man.
Okay, where in the fuck are we at? I wrote down email in the 2000s. That's how he decides. So the whole premise of this movie is James Franco can't be nice to Marla Sokoloff, so he's going to tell her how. And he's going to teach her how to be a. He's going to teach Shane West how to be a dick.
Yeah.
To Ashley.
Okay. I was going to wait till further in because it didn't come in till later in the notes. But
yeah, it don't matter.
At any given point, did Franco. The first couple of years I watched this because I'm an idiot, I assumed that they were actually both trying to help each other out. Franco didn't give a flying rat's ass whether it worked for him or not, did he? Yeah,
I don't think so.
At one point, I thought he was really trying to screw him over and.
Well, I mean, and they did have that one scene where Ryan and Maggie are playing air hockey, and he's like telling her, "Hey, trust me, come out, trust me." And James Franco's working on.
They're in the car.
What's her name in the movie?
Ashley.
Ashley Branch. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's working on Ashley, telling her like, "Hey, like, why don't you want to go out and whatnot?"
Yeah, you're right. That's right before their date.
Yeah, that's also. After the house party, you know, those house parties we've all been to a million times where there's 100 people
okay,
and no
it's
furniture.
In there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, so that's actually where we're at. Cause my next note is Cosmo, get your hand off the dick. Cause that line got a genuine laugh out of me.
Yeah. Yeah. Did me too.
And then I wrote, I just want to see one movie with a realistic high school party.
Yeah.
Also, where are the fucking parents in this town?
Because not the dog track getting wasted.
Yeah. They never said what they did or what they're. Purposely.
Okay, so she has this massive party at her house. Mm-hmm. Then after their one date, they go back and he goes, anybody else home? She goes, nope, it's just us. And then after the prom, they just fucking destroy a hotel room. It's like, where are the chaperones?
There's an entire goddamn hotel, at least one floor of it anyway.
Yeah, it's like there's no parental supervision in this movie whatsoever.
No, there's showing them big dicks, telling them, hey, this is, if you got, and we all know you guys are going to get your fuck on after prom.
Yeah. There's one, and it's his mom, and she shows up in two scenes.
Yeah.
And there is one actual high school party in this film, too.
It's when the three guys are trying to look at porn.
Yes.
Dude, you got to get a faster motor.
Boom. Instead of biting his nails in anticipation.
You and I have quoted that a ton of times when we were in college together.
Well, I used a computer from 98.
His computer was god-awful. And yeah, it was every time that it was slow.
I'm not spending a dime on this shit.
If it was slow doing anything, one of us would say, I've told you 100 times, you got to get a faster modem.
That was the true high school party right there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, where's everybody sitting in the living room, circled around on the couches?
Well, and not only that, but like, how did he explain to Maggie how he got invited to this party and how did he get her to go?
Yeah. And that's another thing. Like later on in the movie, like, She would have believed him immediately when he spilled the beans on what happened.
Yeah.
She would have believed him the second he said it. Like, because why the fuck wouldn't she?
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Know?
She'd have been pissed, but yeah,
she would have known, like, he was telling the truth.
Yeah.
Fuck, you fucking prick.
Yeah. Oh, you fucking dick.
Yeah, she would have believed him right away, and then maybe 2 hours later taking that hog ride. So, I mean, it's...
That Shane West hog ride.
Well, I just, like I said, I don't... Shane West is a beef jerky. You're telling me this guy is a loser who can't
well,
get a girl?
Well, that's the thing. Like, that's one thing I was like really annoyed with this movie, too, is James Franco's supposed to be like this stallion. Like, oh, you're getting your ass kicked for that guy the same size and stature as me. Yeah. He's not like he's some fucking beef jerky.
He's the same fucking...
They're walking... They're on playing football together. They're both in sleeveless shirts. They're the exact same size.
Yeah, and James Franco's like 3 inches shorter than
yeah. him. Yeah. All right, you're getting your ass kicked for that guy. He's the same exact size as me.
Well, we're sending...
Come on.
Sending that email. We're best bench pressing 225s on the bar.
I couldn't fucking bench that nowadays. You kidding me?
Yeah, 50 pounds is it. It's a 40-pound bar, so he's putting up 90 pounds on
it. Fuck, I'd probably... I'd be struggling.
You ever seen that?
Get it off me.
You ever seen that Family Guy episode? Glan, 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 glan.
He's a cool dad all the time, dude. Glan, glan, glan.
Oh, that fucking show's brilliant. All right, where are we at in this movie here?
We haven't made it very far.
Well, I just wrote fucking 17-year-old with a convertible.
Because well, yeah, that's right. His dad played pro football.
That's where James Franco, like you, to your point, is trying to persuade her.
Yeah, he's working her.
And then this is where he goes home and they have the conference call.
Yeah.
Because this was another line that makes me laugh. No, I don't think bitch we have plans will work. But also, it's 2000 and yeah. he has his microphone and soundboard hooked up to his phone. I'm not even sure I can do that now in 2024.
He put it on speakerphone, slid it up to the speaker.
He did?
Yeah, he says, I got to put you on speaker, which is an excuse, but he put it on the dock.
You know what that would have sounded like on Maggie's phone?
it sounded
like dog shit.
Well, he was already doing a terrible James Franco. let's be honest.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Sound like fucking Marky Mark.
First of all, where do you get all that shit on mom's nurse's salary?
Yeah.
Dad's life insurance.
I'll give you that.
Because she's a school nurse, and that house is pretty fucking nice. That's what I was wondering, too. I was like, man. I'm going to kill my guidance counselor.
Living in pretty good digs for handing kids ice packs.
Yeah. Which bringing just, giant dicks on stage.
Which are just frozen sponges.
Trying to go home and take these Tylenol. I don't want these fucking Tylenol. Remember
back in the 90s when you try to fake sick and they just hawk a frozen sponge in a Ziploc bag at you. And say, put this on your forehead and get the fuck back to class.
And you knew your plan failed when you walked in with that soggy motherfucker.
Yeah.
Or if you were actually saying, modern medicine.
We had one girl in our class that I swear to God, she had one always attached to her elbow. She never came back from PE without an ice pack. Fucking clumsy bitch.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
She never came back without one every time you saw her.
Do you gangly uncoordinated bitch? Yeah.
She's also the same one that got hurt on an inflatable obstacle course.
Now I know who you're talking about. It took me a hot minute. I was struggling.
Fucking this goddamn inflatable obstacle course. She comes out the other end on crutches. I wish I was joking, but I'm not. Because she did. She wrenched her fucking ankle in an inflatable obstacle course.
Most of us tie her shoes tighter, but she needed crutches.
Okay.
We're up to the date.
This is where they go to the carnival. Because this is one of the first lines that James Franco said that made me laugh out loud. Because they're over getting the lemonade. Yep. And he's like, tell her she looks nice. Tell her you like her outfit. And he goes, you should probably tell Gran her ass looks fat in those jeans. And just the way he delivers it and his timing on it.
Yeah, he was legitimately pretty good in this movie.
Still didn't like him.
But the...
not sold.
My note there was... I'm telling Carter she needs a tit job. I'm like, no, you're not.
Yeah. I'll give him his those face sold that well because he's like, are you shitting me?
Those tits are stupendous.
Yeah, those don't need any work.
Yeah, those were crafted by God.
Okay, completely sometimes I go back and I listen to old episodes of the show, ones that I've never listened to outside of the editing. And one of them was Chopping Mall. I never ever listened to that episode outside of when I edited it and just uploaded it.
I haven't listened to that one either.
And I was listening to it the other day, and speaking of cans, you're like, Sam was so bent out of shape about this girl's nipples. Oh,
yeah, I remember watching the movie and Sam just being appalled by this girl's nipples.
And I was just sitting there laughing my ass off because you said it and I immediately pictured it. And I was like, yeah her cans are not good.
She was not happy about them. But
so they get the lemonade. They go to the octopus and he tells her he can't have drink. She can't have a drink on it. So she chugs it. They get on the ride. She pukes on him.
Not before completely demasculating this little person.
Munchkin guy.
Munchkin guy. Make it go fast. All right. That's all he is?
That's the difference between watching this movie in 2000 and 2024. Because in 2000, that line didn't register at all.
He is short.
And in 2024, I was like, Jesus Christ, you just called the carnival worker Munchkin Man. Like, my God.
Yeah. But, this movie, there's a line later by Franco. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're firmly in the year 2000. He just casually calls his friends. I was like, oh yeah, there it is. Yep. Wasn't played for as a joke or anything. Nope, that's just how we talked to each other back then.
We talked to each other in the 2000s, man. It was the Wild West. But the next line is the one that you and I quote all the time. Can you help me out? I got puke all over my shirt. So
that dude was fucking jacked.
He's a black guy.
Oh yeah,
there's a black guy in this movie.
I thought more like a Spanish.
I was thinking Spaniard myself.
I was thinking more Spanish. Yeah.
Well,
that dude was fucking jacked to the gills. I never noticed that.
I tried. This is where
Cheech Marin when he was 20.
This is where I was, because I wrote down 2000s internet, because this is where you said there's a real party, because it's three dudes hanging out trying to catch a glimpse of some cans on the internet. Okay, and then
similar times.
What, you had something?
If we're finishing up the date, The biggest laugh that I got off of that was the finger thing. Not when she, Franco's face just leading in for
that's where I laughed too.
Cause she fucking tonsils Ryan's finger all the way down to her.
Huge.
Yeah. I mean, no gag reflex on that one. But then, it pans over.
Franco's fucking loaded. He's going in for it. He spins his finger.
He's fucking E.T. trying to stick that finger in her mouth.
He just wiggles his finger in her fucking face.
And he fuck his mouth.
I started laughing before, and Sam was like, what's so funny? He's like, not this.
He knew it was coming.
It's what's coming right after this that I'm just already anticipating, and I'm laughing about it.
So like I said, we said this movie's got some problems, and a lot of it is just the dialogue and the predictability of it. But there are moments where, like I said, have stuck with me for years, the coach. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I as soon as she did that with his finger, I was like, oh, yeah, this is where Franco sticks his finger up. So again, I remember some of this, but I've probably watched this movie half a dozen times, maybe.
I watched it a lot. I haven't watched it in years.
Oh, dude, that was part of the reason why I brought it up, because I've been looking for a reason to bring you on, and also I own this movie. It's right over there in my DVD collection.
Nice.
Those in alphabetical order?
Yes, they are. I don't guess when I try to find a movie. But straight to the W's, there it is.
Cool.
W-A-W-A.
Well, quit looking at my collection.
All right.
The last time
motherfucker.
The last time you looked at it was when just out of nowhere you went, why do you own the nanny?
That's a legitimate question.
Bought it from my wife. She's never watched it.
Good. So?
I'm not going to lie to you. On my week at home with the broken rib, I totaled that entire...
Fucking Fran Drescher?
That entire series. Yep. Did it. Well, that was another one from my childhood, though, because my mother was a huge fan.
Oh, my God.
So I got hooked into it a couple times. Like, you know what? I kind of remember this. I laughed at Niles, the butler and stuff. So I'm like, I'm going to trail this out. It was worth it. I enjoyed it. It killed time.
Loved the nanny. Mm-hmm. She watched the shit out of
it. I've never seen a second of this show.
It's not that bad.
She's annoying as fuck, but the background characters do help out.
The butler, like you said, Niles, he is great.
Niles and that co-producer or whatever, that Cece, them two mm-hmm. back and forth was magic. That guy.
Yeah, they fucking hated each other. My mom's show
was Roseanne. That was like her girl sitcom that she liked.
It just reminds me of my childhood.
Roseanne?
Yeah. Poverty and yelling. That's what we did.
Poverty and yelling.
It really did capture like Midwest small town family.
Goddamn
perfect.
Okay, let's see. Next in this movie, my next note is the Brian Ryan joke is not funny enough to be used.
It's
throughout
dumber
the
than shit.
Entire fucking movie.
Yeah, like have some gumption, motherfucker. Like, no, you queefs. My name is fucking Ryan.
Well, that was kind of the first half-ass indicator I got that I'm like, Franco doesn't give a fuck whether this works for him or not.
No, that fits perfectly with his character. He's out for old numero uno.
We'll play this off, and even at the end when he finally turns on him, it doesn't really matter now, does it, Ryan?
Yeah, I felt like that was kind of shoehorned in a bit too. Like we could have honestly, I don't know.
Well, to be quite honest with you, I went and took a poop during the climax of this movie because I just was like, I've seen this before. I don't care. Because when I left was right before they went to the prom. It was right when she's standing on his yard, you know, yelling, "Please take me to the prom."
I did like the dynamic of. Cause, I mean, we've all been there before. Super Fox. And then you talk to her and you realize, oh, you're not nearly as attractive, like personality wise. Like it just diminishes all those physical traits that you have that are so alluring are immediately distinguished mm-hmm. because of your dog shit personality.
That was what I wrapped the whole thing up to is the whole thing comes down to he finally realizes he screwed over every person that actually gave a shit about him. For this fantasy girl that should have been left a fantasy.
Yeah, exactly.
It never should have became anything, and he found that out because she sucked. Yeah. I mean, there was
then more. Yeah, and in that regard, it is like a good, I guess, a good moral.
Like, no, there ain't no moral.
Theme. Yeah. Like a theme for the movie, like, hey, don't fuck over your friends just to bang some hot chick that has a rashy foot.
And he never did.
No, he didn't. He couldn't get it up.
Yeah.
Couldn't get it up, eh, Chuck?
Well, to be fair, during that scene, you know, because I know right when I'm about to shag, the first thing I start doing is talking about other people.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
They're literally making out of the bed. She sits up. I wonder if someone else is doing it right now.
I wonder if James Franco and Maggie have done it
yet. I wonder if
your
best friend is getting porked right now.
We're going through that whole second date of them two. That whole thing was a cup full of mixed signals. And if I got kicked in the wiener that hard at a restaurant, we'd be going home.
Who's paying for that fucking meal?
I don't know.
These are high
school. Yeah, not him.
He probably sold that accordion.
Yeah.
Somebody needed a new window unit.
Pawned a couple space heaters and a bike.
I was like, this motherfucker, I haven't seen him go to work yet. He's not fucking paying for this.
Before we get there, though, we're at the nursing home. Because Franco says, I like to come here from time to time to visit with the sickly and old. And he keeps eating that lady's jello.
Hey, that's my jello.
Yeah, you and I have said that a shitload of times, too. And Maggie comes in. She checks on the one lady. Of course, you know, Ryan is behind the curtain. And she's like, okay, I guess this room's all taken care of. And I'm thinking, yeah, because fuck the guy behind the curtain. Like, there's two people in this room.
Spilled his bedpan. Right?
Yeah, spilled his bedpan. It's got a reek of piss in that room.
Sam let out an audible,
ask her if she needs a lift home. And Frank goes to lift. I'll figure something out. Shut the fuck up, old man.
Okay, so next is when he picks her up in the morning because they have the football game because that's when the big guy, the lineman, tackles him because she comes up and she's like, pick me up at 7.
It's
and
a
then
great line in this football game.
Floyd
used to play a little ball back in the day.
Back in what day?
I use that all the time.
Yeah, we've said that a lot of times too. Just play a little ball back in the day.
Fucking 18 years old.
What's funny about it is watching the movie, obviously, at the time you watched it, that was his debut film. Then, of course, as we established Breaking Bad and all that kind of shit, but my memory never put it back to, Oh, Aaron Paul was Floyd in that movie. Never put it back to it until I started playing it now and saw the credits and stuff. And I'm like, Aaron Paul's. And then I was like, oh.
See, I remember seeing him in Breaking Bad going, that's a guy from Whatever It Takes.
That's fucking Floyd.
He was also in the music video for Korn's Thoughtless. I remember seeing him in that.
Did you ever see the movie, also a 2000s shitty comedy? I know you've seen it. And it's the movie called Get Over It.
Mm-hmm. Who's in it?
Was that Hand Down, Little Steve?
Shane, yes.
Shane West?
Shane West is in it.
This is the only thing I've seen this fucking guy in.
Dude.
I never saw Walk to Remember, whatever that shitty fucking Mandy Moore movie was.
I would love to see the audition tapes. Because someone chose to say Shane West in this movie is a transfer student from England, and he is doing the most god-awful English accent the entire fucking movie. The only good part about that movie is Martin Short.
Martin Short nailed it as that director of that play.
Hey, speaking of Martin Short, but because you're both sitting here in front of me and this is something you guys have both told me to do, we finally started watching Resident Alien.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Did you watch that too?
Fuck yeah.
Oh. That's air high five right there.
That show fucking rules.
So obviously love Alan Tudyk. And so I saw it on there. I was like, okay, well, this looks pretty. And then the clip for Netflix was him thinking that it's a boy. And then he goes in there and that's that girl getting a fucking, having her gooch looked at. And he's like, so big guy into sports. I fucking lost it. I was like, all right, we got to watch this. This is like right up my alley.
We just finished season one. Have not started the first episode of season two, but love it.
Great show.
Little
characters.
We both love it. There are genuine laugh out loud moments where both of us are just cracking up. Can't recommend Resident Alien enough. If you have Peacock, that to me is the place to watch it because it has all three seasons.
That gets you up to date as of right now. And
I did not realize that.
And I even dug deep because this show took me by storm.
Really?
And I bounced off of Alan Tudyk. That was it. He was. I'm like, this guy has been great. Everything I've seen, I need something to watch. This could be funny. It's also a sci-fi original, so it could be. But
awful. And that's what. Who knows? Me up.
But this guy can. If anybody's going to pull it off, it's going to be him. And 10 minutes into the first episode, I'm like, I'm all the way up to current, and I even dug deep, and they're. Still waiting to find out if they're going to release a 4.
So season 3 is only 8 episodes then?
Uh-huh.
Okay, see, I was under the impression that season 3 was, like, happening in progress, and so it was updating as it went. But season 1 is 10 episodes, season 2 is 16, season 3 is 8. And so now they're waiting to see if we get a season 4.
That ends, I don't ruin anything, but it ends on a hanger. So if it dies here, I'm going to be crushed. I'm going to be pissed.
Oh, God, what was that show that I watched that was just amazing? And it ended with, like, a cliffhanger. God damn it.
And then they didn't get a season 2.
Season 2.
I've got a handful of them in my arsenal that upset me dearly.
I know.
You're a big Cole. Cole's a big ending guy. Like,
if he hasn't seen... You can kill an entire fantastic movie with a shit ending.
Oh, duh. It was the Mike Flanagan show... Not the last one he just did, because that one wasn't, not Fall of House Usher, it was the one before, Midnight Club.
Yeah.
That one, like, they had it was an amazing first season, they ended it with a cliffhanger, and it got canceled.
Never got it. But if I've seen a movie and you haven't, and you'll text me, and you'll literally text me, is the ending butts, am I wasting my time? Like,
I will not give that movie a fucking second.
What kind of ending
second.
Do you like? Do you only like happy endings?
I like
that's how Sam is.
I like an ending that fucking finishes everything.
He just wants an ending that wraps it all up. He doesn't want to.
I need a bow on it. Don't make me think about shit after the fact. I'm not interested.
I like ambiguous endings.
No.
For the most part.
So you would not have liked the movie Inception, or did you watch it?
I tried to, got bored. Yeah. I really did.
Because the ending of that movie is a big cliffhanger that you're never going to get the answer to.
There's a very good possibility you even told me that. And I went, well, I'm bored now, so I'm out.
Speaking of series, then we can get back to Whatever It Takes. I watched a fucking banger that I was not prepared for.
Resident Alien.
Yeah,
in case you were curious.
It's called Baby Reindeer. It's on Netflix. It's three and a half hours. It's incredible.
I thought you said it was a series.
It is. It's three. It's seven episodes that are like 30 minutes.
Oh, okay. All right.
And God, it was just.
You just watched it all in one sitting.
Oh, fuck yeah. No, we did. We split it up because it was pretty late. We started it at like 8 o'clock. We watched all but two episodes. And then we watched the other two episodes of my lunch break the next day.
We've been trying to do that with Resident Alien because that helps with their 45 minute episodes. Mm-hmm. But we're trying like not to just fucking blast through it. We're trying to like take our time a little bit. Like,
yeah, because you can burn yourself out.
Well, not only that, but it's just like, okay, I know there's only three seasons. So like, and I know the third season just came out. So yeah, I don't know. To me, it's like, if there's going to be a fourth season, I don't want to just blow through this fucking thing in one weekend and then be waiting. So
Shelby made me wait for her to get home. That helped split it up for us.
Yeah. We watched, I think the other night was the most we've watched in a row. We watched like three episodes in a row, but it was the season one finale. So it's like, okay, well, those last three episodes are just, you know, cliffhanger after cliffhanger. It's like, all right, well, I got to keep going now. We even like the title cards with they're just so simple.
Yes.
They're simple. Like,
the yes
funny.
And the no. We laugh at the fucking title
cards.
It's
like him stepping his way through it. I mean, this is my journal. This is what to do and not to do.
Him, that show. Him trying so hard like to try to fit in is just, like, he's one of the best like physical comedians of
ever seen. And he also does these little things with like even his face, just little facial features that it's like you could totally buy.
Yes.
That this is a fucking alien.
This is somebody trying to assimilate themselves into the world. And they don't know
how. The way he smiles and the way he does
anybody else, I think anybody else would have fell short with.
I agree, because Alan Tudyk's a national treasure.
My brother watched that show too, and he told me.
I nagged him. Like, I just about had to turn it on at my house to make him watch it. I'm like, just do it.
He's like, when he took that fucking first shot of whiskey, he's like, I couldn't breathe. I was laughing so hard.
Before we wrap up and go back to the fantastic movie we're reviewing, the one series that caught me off guard, and you're responsible, was Midnight Mass. You discussed it.
Greatest series ever put on any format ever.
You discussed it. Sean gave it the, oh, check it out. I went home and actually did, and I'm like, I'm in it. Damn, I'm in it now.
Dude.
Yeah, I've never watched a second of that. But
She's a slow burn, but everything counts.
It's the greatest thing I've ever watched. I'm not even, it's not hyperbole. It is the greatest story ever watched.
God damn it.
It was damn good.
You both told me to watch Resident Alien.
Best performances I've ever seen. Oh my God. It's
now I got
so
two of you telling
good.
Me about Midnight Mass.
It just keeps you hanging long enough to keep bringing you back.
And when it wraps up, you're like,
see, he likes a good ending.
It all fits perfect. It's amazing. I'm telling you, it's the best writing I've ever seen. Like, as far as just like a story that comes together.
It put the fucking bow on it.
Yes, it nails it. And it's one of those things you can kind of just think back on and just think like, oh yeah, like it's so, like philosophically, like it just, it's such a good, like it's very, like, oh, it's like, God damn it. Like, what's like a, like for music, like it's very accessible in a way, like, so you can, like, anybody could really watch it and enjoy it.
Yeah.
But also there's just so much to chew on as far as like just philosophically.
If you want
to
dig deep.
You want to dig deeper and just think about like the greater meaning, you truly can. It's just, it's really well written.
This movie that we're watching has no greater meaning.
No, that's what always happens with these movies that are kind of just like, right in the middle of the road, we start talking about other shit.
Yeah, because this movie sits as like a 5.5 on IMDb.
And I'd say it's about as fair as it can be.
Very fair.
It's actually a little higher than what I anticipated, if you want the truth.
I was thinking, after I watched it, I was like, this probably is like a 4.
I was...
So, where we were...
It's like every girl I dated in high school. This is a fucking 4.
It's a heavy 4.
where we were in the movie was when he picks her up in the morning, his friends are at the stoplight, of course, you know...
This is step one of fuck you.
This is step one of getting rid of the friends.
Is this after he can't get it up?
No, this is before.
Okay.
This is before, because then they go to the lunchroom.
Yeah, I
And they walk
this.
Up behind her, and all of a sudden she doesn't want to hang out with him because those guys are standing behind him.
Yeah, like they weren't waving to you this morning. Like, you didn't say anything about it then. You just said, like, you thought that they were staring at you.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like, I wonder, like, part of this is like, I wonder if they filmed like two different scenes.
They also came to the party with him, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, like, this shouldn't be a shocker.
This isn't the first time we've seen them, but it's the same old tired trope. It's like, he's got nerd friends, can't have nerd friends, now he's popular.
The social issues that you had, like the cliques in high school and whatnot.
This is where they have their Darren. Darren? where they have their date. Fucking Bertasia.
Yeah, but I was, took it right out of my. I just want to say Bertasia.
Anybody else notice the gender in this movie sounds like fucking Hardcore Holly? That's all I could think of.
Did not pick up on that.
Oh, it sounded like Hardcore Holly. I was like,
this is where they have the expensive date. She kicks him in the pecker.
And it had to be the end of date. We're going, I'm pissed.
And then they go home and you were talking.
Then mom, okay, so everybody needs a fucking denim rub down. That's going to cure the whole problem. Give me a break.
Denim rub down?
Fucking dry rub here at the goddamn dude.
Yeah, now I know he's got
jerked off underneath the
I've got a carpet burn.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't feel good. You were talking about mixed signals.
Because it gets 10 times worse.
Because what happens is they go back, they sit on the bed, and she says, I bought underwear today. Thought maybe I could model them for you. They're mostly thongs. Then she gets up, she takes her, she says, I'm going to take a shower. She unzips her skirt, drops it to the floor, and she goes, maybe you could join me.
Yeah, he said, I'll wait here.
That means roll on.
Yes.
We're also coming at this from 34-year-old men. This is a young kid. This is a high school kid. She might be just saying things that, you know, maybe like she thinks might be sex. We almost got to approach this. I mean, the movie didn't do this at all. You could approach this as like these are the minds of children.
If a woman takes her skirt off and says, maybe you should join me, I think she means you should join her.
Homie, it was said to me once. I did. And I didn't get yelled at. Yeah,
but he goes.
But she was also shaving her mustache.
He goes to the shower.
She was clearly unprepared for the scene.
Yeah. Opens it up. She's shaving her mustache. And then, but then she comes out of the bedroom and.
She's going to ride that wrinkle.
Yeah. Thing. She fucking straddles it.
Mixed.
I'm like, so wait a minute. You tell him to come join you in the shower. When he does, you yell at him.
Yeah.
Then you come immediately out of the bedroom and sit on him.
Because they thought that this would be funny. Wouldn't it be funny if he goes in there and she's got a fucking, got a shaving cream mustache? Isn't that funny? No, it's not. This fucking move, this goddamn scene was drizzling shits and I wanted it off my TV.
No, two times I would already been home in front of the computer. Yeah. It's not hard.
It just seems to me like they wanted to have this
remember
sexual
beating it to still frames? What a fucking barbaric time of our lives.
Don't spit that drink out. You just almost got cold to do a spit take.
God damn it.
And that's alcohol too. That's gonna burn.
Yeah, straight to the nose. Yeah, there's no difference. We made fun of people with Playboys. We did it on a computer.
Yeah, barbaric electronic times.
Yeah, it's a fucking like medieval time.
Like that old timer that handed you his phone and had Googled naked vagina.
Naked vagina.
Man knows what he wants.
It's amazing to me. Like this guy has no idea that I saw that in his Google searches. I often think about that. Like, I'll just be driving. I'm like, that fucking guy literally Googled naked vagina.
What? Man knows what he wants.
What are you going to do when I'm not here next time? Where's the other guy?
Where's the rest of you?
He gets me.
Yeah, I was like, he understands.
No, but I think they just wanted to have this awkward sexual tension scene.
Yeah.
But they just didn't know how to get out of it. Because they're the same thing. Like, the next thing you know, she's making out with him and then sits up and she's like, I wonder if Maggie and them are doing it. Mm-hmm. And then she says, we can do this later when you're more into it. And then crawls off of him and that's the end of the scene.
He's a high school kid. 0% chance that dick wasn't harder than fucking Chinese algebra before he even fucking got his pants off.
Dude.
There should have been a bump just sitting on the bed.
When she unzipped her skirt, he went six to midnight.
Exactly.
I mean, He was
begging her to move faster so he could flip that fucker up into his waistband, not embarrass himself.
Yeah, there was no prep work needed to be done there.
Oh, man, exactly. Like, I was thinking that too. It was like, there's no way that he wouldn't be up for it. Like, unless he fucking jizzed in his pants when she took her goddamn skirt off.
He's got to tell him. Jizzed in my shorts.
Yeah, like,
what to do.
I don't know. I was 18 once. I know how easy that fucker rose to the occasion.
Did we do that movie on this podcast?
Yes.
Did we fucking, she's out of my league?
Yeah, you did.
We did. We just didn't do a very good job. I think it was just, I don't know. It's another one of those ones.
It's
kind of
like this
pack.
One.
It's hard to say.
You drift
like,
off.
Yeah, what do you talk about?
Can't chase.
Because my next note is, somebody tried on some pants? And then my last note is, where the fuck are the parents? This prom is, this hotel prom is absolutely fucking destroyed.
I remember the bat to dick shot being so much funnier than what it actually was. That was simply...
We were 10.
Immature. Yeah. You know what I mean? I remember just...
I remember him getting kicked in the pills being a lot funnier, too.
A like, good old nut shot when you're 10.
When you're a little boy.
Oh, fuck yeah.
That's fucking... That's George Carlin right there.
We thought this movie was amazing. Because then, yeah, after
I also couldn't wait to get my fingers sucked when I was a little kid. Yeah, like, oh, I can't wait till I get to high school.
I'm thinking this is just something that happens. I'm 34. No one's ever sucked my finger.
If they did, like, that's fucking, like, you know these fucking hands of men, woman?
Nimbus walking around like Franco.
It's like, who wants some? Walking down the hallways, just
and like, pepperoni pizza.
Like,
beard fingers.
Like, my old age, that's all I could think of. It's like, oh, man, like, hands are fucking gross, man. I know where my hands go all day long.
It's like, no.
I would never want that in somebody's mouth.
I don't want you sucking on my finger. The fuck's the matter with you?
Yeah, like, seriously. I literally just spilled gas on my hand before I got here. Like, come the fuck on. You're going to be losing weight rapidly if you suck this finger. But yeah.
My wife is back there just...
So we are at prom now, correct?
Yeah, we're at prom, and this is where I was pooping.
Which is angling to the end of the film. I mean, it's a 3-2-1 from here.
Yeah, basically.
We forgot to mention the reoccurring stoner character that's wearing sandals and with his tuxedo at the prom.
That guy aggravates the fuck out of me, too.
He's the fucking funniest 40-year-old high school student I've ever seen.
Well, also, he ends up shagging Ashley at the end, which...
The ending was really weird, too. They show him, we get it. He went in there and fucked her.
Yeah. What the fuck happened to her?
We didn't need to see him come out with hickeys on his neck.
Yeah, because when she turned on the lights and knew who she did, like, she freaked out. What'd he do? Put a pillow over her face?
Yeah, no,
like,
shit. When that sun comes up. Nobody addressed this.
You fucker. That dude.
What is up with these movies? Like, back in the day, you could just be a total perv and, like, date rape women. Like, it's the same thing that happened in Revenge of the Nerds. Remember that movie where he put on Pretty Boy's Darth Vader mask? And he went in there and fucked that girl?
Yeah.
Just fucking Pill Cosby her? Nobody said a goddamn thing.
Well, yeah, it's like she didn't know who this guy was when she pulled him
she
in.
Didn't smell the piss and bug spray.
The old dark room switch, you know? I don't know. I just said the dark room switch. It made me think of that great skit on Jackass. Where him and Phil switch.
And then Preston Lacey switch.
And Phil comes out in the hallway. Each other thumbs up.
That is a brilliant joke.
Switch Phil and Preston Lacey in the middle.
That is
of the
so goddamn funny.
My last, I guess my very, very, very last note on this entire movie is James Franco all basket. Because he's laying there in that little Speedo.
He's a grower, not a shower.
James Franco's laying there in that little thong Speedo, which, why would you wear that under your tux?
The biggest thing for me, nothing to do with what you just said, but the thing that fascinated me when we first started watching this, because I had no clue it was a thing, and I still question whether it is, the gym floor sliding out to the pool underneath. And his prom big sabotage, Floyd's biggest thing, that was fantastic. I mean, if you're gonna get it into it, that happening is the Titanic and everything splitting, and the coach being the first one to, Woodman, get your ass off that stage.
I did kind of like that, the ending, like, because it kind of felt like they had the Titanic theme, so then Floyd has the bright idea to do that. And I loved Cosmo's 45-year-old date.
Yeah, brought her daughter.
Little girl, daddy. Just, I don't know. I got a kick out of it. That was just a cute little joke. It's way better than any other jokes in this movie.
That and baffling that they somehow managed to bring, what was his name? I don't even remember anymore.
Nick Cannon.
Yeah, absolutely. Virgil Doolittle as the cop to wrap whole piece in there. As shit as everything was in this movie, that they tied all that together was kind of neat.
I don't know how to pronounce his last name. David Koechner or something.
No. I mean, I've seen him in a million things. Yeah. I have no idea.
Yeah, dude's been in.
He's got a DUI.
Yeah, he did. Because that was all over the office's Reddit page because he played that drunk.
Oh.
You know.
Damn, like his name.
Yeah, it's David something. I think it's Kochner or Kechner or whatever.
Kechner.
But to circle back, because we were talking about James Franco being all basket. And I
had to go back to the basket.
And I said, why would you wear something like that under your prom tux? Do you remember our buddy Kyle buying that elephant thong? Okay, so I got to tell this story real quick. Do you remember this story?
I remember him buying the thong. Okay. I don't know the story.
We went to Spencer Gifts and bought, and we were just walking around because that's what we did. You know, we thought it was hilarious as kids to go into Spencer Gifts. And by kids, we were like, what, 17? We were driving.
Well, and that in the mall was still where it was at. It's not the shambles it is today. I mean, the mall was full.
Yeah, the mall sucks now. But
now you can roll a bowling ball all the way to the end.
He was with his girlfriend at the time. And they had on the wall this elephant thong, and it had this really long trunk. And at the end of the trunk was a squeaky toy that like that. And so he buys it as a joke, right? Later that night, all of us were going to go out to dinner together. So there's a whole shitload of us out to dinner together. We're sitting at the table, and Kyle sits down and goes, hey, guys, beep, beep, honks his fucking pants. And we all freaked, like, you're fucking wearing the elephant thong? Are you kidding me?
Was that at China One?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember where we were sitting. I just remember we went to the...
It sounds like it might have been like one of those things like the what do they call that effect?
Mandela effect,
where I think like maybe hearing you guys, but I like vaguely remember us all like laughing at a table, but it also could have been me being told the story.
So speaking of story, Cole has a story because I need to know what. So to set things up, we live in a small town of less than 1,000 people.
High crime rate.
And in 34 years, we've never had a high speed car chase in this town. We had two of them in 2 days.
What?
Yes. One guy was getting chased by the cops and crashed into a tree in front of this one girl's house.
He's and dead.
The
dead
very
impact.
Wasn't even a good crash either. It's like he bumped into and went, well, I'm fucked. And just took off running. But admittedly, this high speed chase tweaker.
We got a lot of those.
It went down the street, down the alley. He did that 8 times, picked up a new cop car each time he went around.
Oh my
God. Nobody decided to stop.
Nobody.
They just kept going.
Wait, was this the first one or the second one?
This is the first one that ended it at the tree.
So nobody thought to just block the fucking alleyway that this guy's driven down 8 times?
The guy, the source that I got, which was his neighbor, said that they went around the block or around that half block 8 times.
Okay, so that doesn't really classify as a high speed chase.
No, this one that I got.
So you don't know anybody.
I don't know anything about this. So, I
don't
even know about the tweaker.
And I don't know exactly what happened. I just drove by your house the next day and like I told you was going to text you the fuck happened, but I figured you were tired of answering questions on it. Because in a small town like this, you drive by somebody's house, like when my brother had these barricades delivered to his house for our town celebration, and everybody was texting him, what's in your driveway? It's like, mind your fuckhole. Like, what do you care?
And so, that is me to a T.
Yeah, so I was just like, I'm not even going to text him. I'll find out. I'm sure I'll get told. So but to wrap this up, go ahead.
Me doing this podcast this evening hinged on me getting my 4 mailboxes that are in front of my house put back up. 3 neighbors in my mailbox, but I am in charge of all of them because why not? It's on my property. And I wanted them back up. Now, we start off Sunday morning. I get up. My wife's a little crabby. And I said, who put a bug up your ass? She said, you didn't hear them cops last night? I went, no.
Dude, no.
I didn't hear anything. I had my scuba mask on. I have a CPAP machine.
You have sleep apnea?
Oh, God, yeah.
God, we're old.
Oh, yeah. It's not a big deal. Pretty awesome. I look like Top Gun. Anyway, so I get up. I said, no, I didn't hear anything. She goes, it was at like 3 a.m. It went on for 25 minutes. I'm like, no, sucks to suck.
You could light a goddamn bomb off.
And I assumed it was, you know, a cop chasing somebody down 175. No big deal.
Yeah.
We had confirmation that afternoon for my three kids, so I had to get out, get the yard cleaned up. I was just going to mow quick, knock it out. I walk out into my front yard, and I glance over, and I go, oh, what? And I see this crap in my yard. It's all four mailboxes strung about 25, 30 feet apart. Post shaved off at the bottom, and I went, what the fuck?
That's vandalism!
So I go into the house and I say, Shelby, figured out what the cops were doing. Little did I know that this wasn't some drunken screw up. The cops went through my yard, were 6 foot from my decorative block that are in front of my house, and shot off to try and T-bone this guy in the intersection. This is how big it got. So it finally finished up with the cop swerving around the corner because the rear end of the car got loose and just took out my mailboxes right at the bit.
So Sheriff just absolutely fucking blasts your goddamn mailboxes.
Yeah, apart. Buford T just took them bitches off the base.
Doesn't say anything.
Nobody says a word.
That is wild.
So I send this Snapchat out as I'm standing in my yard like Red Foreman, just pissed. And, you know, I get people telling me, you know, well, you need to call the sheriff's office. You need to turn this in. I'm like, for what? If the guy did it, he's clearly arrested. I'm going to get $8 a month for the next long to fix this. I don't give a shit. Well, Shelby did call the comm center, and they said, yes, somebody's going to be stopping today. They have photos and recording of all of this. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, they have all this. So they're going to stop and talk.
Can we watch the dash cam?
Yeah, I want to hear that cop go, fuck. Yeah. You know, it was pure panic.
He was in there like John Gustafson, fucking trying like hell to correct it before
I hit the cans again.
Yeah,
it was so bad that one of the sheriffs stopped at Cubby's and had to get gas. He was ill prepared.
Mid chase had to stop and get gas.
No, I'm not shitting you. One drop.
Can you put a hold on this? It's like
who's fucking gonna pick him up?
I'm just gone. Fucking horrible bosses. We're gonna wait till all this shit goes by. Then we'll keep on going.
Guarantee he took the gas handle and all just drove off.
Wow.
He had to put like $10 in. Like
I have no idea, but I know that because that was the other. Besides my mailbox is getting assassinated, the other funny part of this that I've heard for the last 2 days throughout town is one cop had to stop and get gas. Who doesn't start a shift on a full tank? Well, they're sitting at the dump most of the time. They're rocking a quarter of a tank.
Let's also be clear. This was 3 o'clock in the fucking morning. Like nothing happens around here at 3 o'clock. We're all sleeping.
Yeah.
But they apparently went by our house twice because Taylor heard the sirens. I was like you. I was fucking. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah, your neighbor happened. Said they went west with one cop car, and the other one must have met him at the end, so he just Dukes of Hazzard that bitch in a circle, came back down your street, gave the finger to the one that was chasing him, but I'm guessing, because when he come back this way, Merle said there was two cops on him.
Oh, I was going to say, so
way.
Who saw it, but it was okay.
I don't understand people that try to run from, has anybody ever succeeded that wasn't on like a fucking, on a crotch rocket? Like, has anybody ever succeeded getting away from the cops?
I don't know of anybody that.
I heard of one kid back when we were like sophomores that did it, but he took the gravel and the dust was so bad that he pulled it off. Plus,
I could see that was not getting radioed
ahead. It wasn't. It was some kid being a dick. The cop really wasn't too concerned about it. And I'm with my neighbor on this deal. So this entire thing took place. Mailboxes got destroyed. Rampant yards. What fucking bank did this guy rob?
That's what I was wondering.
We couldn't just coast behind this dude, wait for him to run out of gas.
Yeah.
I mean, we're taking this to the extreme.
Have somebody, did anybody catch the number on the locomotive? Did you catch the fucking license plate number? Okay. We'll call him tomorrow. Got to call that guy about his mailboxes. We'll call the criminal while we're at it.
Yeah, we should have been putting the whole thing on.
I want to see, look, you don't have to, you guys don't have to pay for my,
I need zero restitution, but I need that dash cam footage.
I want that dash cam DVD
with the speaker.
Yeah.
I want you radioing the comm center to explain that you just took out some asshole's mailboxes because I am that asshole.
Oh,
getting gas before going on a speed chase. The fucking funniest thing I've ever heard.
That is a farva.
Oh, I got top off. Yeah.
Like, because did he come in hot into cubbies?
Just you know how fucking slow those card machines are?
Especially out there. Come on, you son of a bitch.
That's what I'm saying. He comes just a helling into the gas station, slams on his brake, and gets out card read error. Come on, you fucking piece of shit.
That and how many times did his hands hit that in?
Well, and if it's like my truck, my truck's kind of a piece of shit. If it's even close to cold, you get about a dollar in it and it goes and shuts off. You just get like $1.25 at a time. And
just, you know what I'm out.
Son of a bitch. Stop. Like I said, he had to have only put like $10 in. Because if he filled it, that's even more hilarious. If he waited for like $45 to pump into that thing, yeah, just. Oh, we also know the guy who owns the convenience store. We should get that footage. They have cameras. They have cameras. Like, can we have that footage?
I wonder how long that holds up. I'll have to ask.
Oh, man.
So anyway, whatever it takes. That was a good movie. No, it wasn't.
You know?
Yeah, I'll never watch it again.
I mean, I bought the DVD just because I hadn't seen it in probably 20 years. And the price tag's still on the DVD.
Like $5?
It's $3.99.
Yeah.
You overpaid.
That wheelhouse is in that Big Ben at Walmart.
No, this was in, I think I got this from like a junk shop in Omaha, if I'm not mistaken. I was in Omaha for a weekend and came across this at like one of them like shops that sells like old movies and games and stuff like that.
I go on Tubi to watch this. And so you start typing it in and it pops up. And for some reason, because it's not even in the same wheelhouse of what you're typing in, but the movie Tombstone was on there.
I saw that on there when I was looking for this one.
And I so badly wanted to go, can we call an audible?
I've never seen Tombstone. Please.
See, bring me back because we're doing it.
Dude,
at some time.
Never seen it.
Tombstone is phenomenal.
I love Westerns. Never seen it.
And in my opinion.
You actually do?
Oh, I love Westerns.
I did not. That's a new facet of you.
See, and I'm not a big Western guy. I'll watch fucking Tombstone any day of the week. Like Tombstone to me, if I catch it on TBS, I know what I'm doing the next 3 hours.
Yeah, like, Dad hooked me on that one, and it's got a great cast.
Yeah, it's Val Kilmer.
Kilmer, Kurt Russell.
Two hours and 14 minutes. All right. So, yeah.
With ads, it's probably 3 hours.
Yeah, you throw that on TV, that's a 4 hour.
It's also on Hulu. It's on Peacock. Fuck, that movie's everywhere right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I'm like, I know it's too late to do this.
Yeah. 7.8 out of 10 on IMDb.
And it's one of those that you guys say quite often, you know, it's hard to cover a good movie.
It's tough to talk about good stuff.
I don't know. That one there is.
It's got to either be really dumb. I mean, really good stuff is Ari, because you can just sit there and bond over how amazing.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't know, I could babble about that one for a hot
minute. Tombstone is incredible. I fucking love that movie. Side note, I also love Tubi's new opening.
Tubi.
I don't know.
Reminds me of Wall-E. Yeah.
Like it used to just come up and it did this little sound, and then when the eye dotted it, like did this ding, and that was it. And now, yeah, it does. And I'm like,
I've never seen Wall-E. I heard it's great.
Wall-E fucking rules too.
Never seen it. Is there dialogue in that movie or no?
Oh yeah. Oh. They so he ends up on a spaceship with people.
Oh.
So
actually, to be honest with you, that is probably one of the deepest Pixar movies ever made.
Yes.
But it's a great movie.
That's what I've heard. I've heard it's really good.
Yeah, there's a big like
for what it is.
Overarching theme
of like, hey, we're fucking the planet up here, folks, and we're all gonna become like mindless zombies. There's stuff in there about phones and global warming. I mean, it's probably deep. The deepest part Pixar's ever.
They cover it up with great comedy, but I mean it's deep.
Have you ever seen the special feature Bernie?
No.
Oh.
Bernie.
Heard about
Jack Black?
Okay, no. So Pixar does this a lot where they'll do like shorts.
Mm.
Okay. And the guy playing chess.
There's a short, but this one they do, it's called Bernie, and it's about a robot on the same ship that Wally's on.
Mm.
And if you've seen the movie Wally, this ties in. There's like scenes of Wally that'll happen in like the background, or And Bernie, not one line of dialogue in it, but it is fucking hilarious. I mean, it's, if you've never seen it, you can watch it on YouTube. If you've seen WALL-E, it's better. You don't have to have seen the movie. It's not giving anything away, but.
But if you've seen it, you'll be able to
like. If you've seen it, yeah. There's little things that happen in the background that you're like, oh, that's why this happened. Yeah. Fucking Bernie's the reason. Loved Bernie, man. Loved it. But anyway.
Jack Black movie.
I think that's all we got. Is that all we got? We getting the fuck out of here?
Yeah, that's all I got.
I mean there's not really a whole lot to talk about.
The only other thing I can say, and you both are going to yell at me, and that's why I'm doing this at the end, so I don't get crucified for it. I absolutely adored listening to you guys talk about Samurai Cop.
Oh, the movie's a goddamn gem.
I will never watch that shit
again. No. Oh, never again?
No, I was so goddamn bored. I will listen to the podcast of you guys talking about it. I don't want to watch that shit again. That was just dumb.
Samurai Cop was amazing.
I want to watch it every year.
Maybe watching it with somebody might make it better, but I watched it over lunch. It was shit.
I had a good time.
I had a good fucking time watching the movie. Not. I was laughing my ass off.
I was too. I couldn't believe it.
Wait a minute.
I was laughing my fucking ass off watching that movie. Okay, so speaking of that, to wrap this up, I watched a compilation the other day on YouTube of bad acting. Samurai Cop was on there. Several scenes from Samurai Cop. There was also a movie called Birdemic.
Yeah.
You ever heard of that?
I've heard of it.
Okay. It's in the same vein as Samurai Cop. They say it's one of the best bad movies of all time. Okay. They showed a scene from Birdemic and I like laughed legitimately out loud. It was this group of people and the one guy says, "Should we go check on the others?" And the girl goes, "I already have. They're dead." And this other guy goes, "Guys, can we change the subject? Jaws is actually one of my favorite movies." And it's just like, what? And I fucking just burst out laughing because I was not expecting this at all. And yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. I liked Samurai Cop.
I loved Samurai Cop. I had a great fucking time with it.
I thought it was.
But yeah, Samurai Cop, The Room, and Birdemic, those are like the Mount Rushmore of. And Troll 2, excuse me.
Troll 2.
Those four are like the Mount Rushmore hilariously of bad movies. Yeah.
Sometime I would like, I'd say this about all our guests, and I mean this. I want to bring every one of you back on because there's a reason we bring you on. But I think the next time we bring you on, we should just tell stories.
Yeah.
Because the three of us, you and I have, you were born 3 months before me. We've known each other since we were little kids. We've roomed together. We've got stories from college. I got a great story about him drinking 100 proof Captain and eating a biscuit from KFC.
You told the one about the TV.
Yeah, when we were moving in.
The Super Zenith.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, that
was so good.
Yes. I wasn't avoiding them women. They're like, what the fuck is happening?
The three of us have plethoras of stories that we could tell. And just one night sitting here, we could tell a lot of fucking stories and just laugh our ass off. So that would be a fun one to do, too.
That was going to be my intro, and then this popped up. And I said, I don't care what we do. It doesn't make a difference to me.
Well, that's what I said to Alex when we came up with Whatever It Takes. I said, I'm going to reach out to Cole because he's the reason I watched this movie and see if he wants to do this. So I'm glad you did. Thank you for coming.
I watched this. I think it was on. So, like I've mentioned on here before, back in the day, we had it where my dad had figured out a way to rig our DirecTV cards, and this was just on like pay per view. So I would just literally watch anything that was on pay per view. Like, so I mean, I think I just happened to just watch it for some reason.
You were live streaming before anybody thought about it,
dude. Yeah, like I had it made. Like as far as like, dude. Like, you want to talk about being growing up as a teenager and you have all the porno channels for free?
You were learning some shit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, except it's right there in your living room.
No, we had it throughout the house. Yeah. Throughout the house.
Oh.
There was a catch, though. You could get busted at any moment, was it not?
Well, wait a minute.
Didn't it go on all the TVs, though?
No. For a while, it did. I remember I caught my dad one time watching the Pamela and Tommy Lee porno. And because he told me, like, he thought I was an idiot. Because I had like some school project due. It was like fourth or fifth grade. And he was like, "No, you stay in there. Don't you dare turn on that TV. You're not supposed to be watching anything. You got to do your project." I'm like, "All right, you fucking perv. You're going to watch somebody get dicked down." I get it. It is. I did too. I immediately turned on my TV and I saw Pamela just swallowing Tommy Lee's hog. And I was like, "Ah, you fucking old pervert. That's what a 10-year-old should be seeing." But yeah.
So you had a TV in your room?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you think I played Final Fantasy VII on, homie?
Yeah, you had it growing up. It was
fucking made.
The TV we had upstairs for us was a 54 Super Zenith. I mean, that thing was an old cabinet TV that had the speakers built into the side. It was my grandparents' TV. And it was the heaviest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. And we hauled that fucker up the stairs.
And we thought we were the damn kings, man.
When my parents sold that house, did that TV stay?
I have no idea. You were one of the last ones in there. I don't ever think I made it back in there.
I don't remember that TV leaving because I think it was like when I moved out of my last house, that entertainment center staying. I am not moving that thing twice.
Hoss.
Yeah. It's like I ain't moving that fucking thing twice.
I destroyed the crown molding on that.
Yeah. See what I mean?
Like that,
that thing was a hoss.
We got fucking stories we could share. That would be a fun podcast. At least fun for us. Probably not fun for listeners if he's going, who's Lou?
Use your imagination. Like I said, like I told you, half of these podcasts, I don't give two absolute shits to watch the movies you're talking about.
No, it's just fun. Like I do.
But listening to it is just like right now.
That's the show.
I'm still in the room with you. I'm even commenting. Trust me, I've been nailed for it.
Yeah,
before.
He told me he's like, you know how many times I've been on a walk, like listening to you guys in the morning, and I want to be able to call in, be like, yeah, long time listener, first time caller.
when I pitched about doing this with Sean, it's like that's, I don't know, it's kind of like our chemistry and that, like, that's what's going to be fun to listen to. No one's gonna give it, like, I don't have anything of any substance to say.
You wanted to do a podcast, and I was like, no.
Yeah, I didn't want to do it for the longest time.
I didn't.
So we went to the Funny Bone in Omaha a week ago. I'm an idiot. And we went and saw this guy named Zoltan. You've probably seen him on. He had that bit about his cat Jessica. It went viral. It was like all over Facebook.
Yep, I know what you're talking
about. We went and saw him.
I didn't see that.
And you know how hard it was for me? You guys ever seen Dude, Where's My Car?
Yeah.
A guy named Zoltan movie.
Zoltan hangs out?
You know how hard it was for me not to just go, Zoltan! As soon as I saw that motherfucker. That place, Funny Bone in Omaha, you guys got to step up your fucking food game. I ate food in prison that tasted better than that shit. Jesus Christ. They're fucking, we got chips and queso. Their queso literally tasted like Bud Light. It was like this fucking beer cheese. It sucked.
That's probably, did they not put it out as, this is beer cheese.
Yeah,
it's not the good stuff.
Yeah, it's not queso. It's beer cheese.
Speaking of comedians, I heard a hilarious Norm MacDonald joke that I really want to share with you guys. Stop me if you've heard it.
This guy with an accordion.
No, my God. No, it's a guy with a giant pumpkin head. So he walks into his buddy's house. He's got a giant pumpkin head. His buddy goes, dude, what the hell happened? He goes, I found a genie. I was walking down the beach and I found a genie lamp. Okay, yeah, so what happened? Oh, yeah, you know, my first, you know, he came out. He said he's going to give me 3 wishes. All right, that sounds pretty good. He's like, okay, so what happened? Then, you know, my first wish, I wished for like $100 million. I mean, I got it. And okay, so what happened? Then, you know, my second wish, I wished for like this, you know, a beautiful lady, and he gave me her. Okay, so what the hell happened? Yeah, third wish, that's where I really blew it. I wished for a giant pumpkin head. So fucking amazing. That's where I really blew it. I wish for a giant pumpkin head. That fucking joke, I laughed for fucking 40 minutes.
I don't think I've ever heard an ounce of his comedy.
Oh,
Norm MacDonald.
It's
his delivery is what makes everything.
He will tell dumb jokes like that, but it's just how he delivers it.
His delivery is everything. And he's a shining example of comedy's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, it's how you deliver lines.
Oh, man, his career is one of those ones where you go back and watch it and you kind of just become more enamored by him because he's one of the few. He did not give a fuck. He was an audience of one, and he was just extremely admirable in that regard. While everybody else was trying to suck their way off to the top, he was being a true artist about it. And it's amazing. But yeah.
Look at Norm MacDonald. All right. We got to wrap this fucking thing up. We got to get out of here. It's getting late.
Yeah.
you know, we're getting old.
We've rolled this way past.
We've the rolled this
to take 2 days to edit.
Way past the fucking. We haven't talked about whatever it takes for 45 minutes.
You wrapped it up once.
Yeah, I was gonna say I tried. I'm trying to do the old nice.
Okay, we're going home.
I'm saying trying Midwest to do the old Midwest. Well,
when I read that meme, I was like, that is so accurate. You know how many times I slapped my leg and went, well,
yeah. Sean's had his snow pants on for 10 minutes.
Stand at the front door. God damn it. Don't you take the boots off, son of a bitch. We're going home.
Oh, so funny.